This is Solo Travel Talk. Your solo travel advisor is Astrid Clements.
Ah, Paris, the city of lights. For years, visitors to France seemingly have endless tales about so-called rudeness or other cultural faux pas. Your solo travel advisor, Astrid Clements, has some thoughts on this trope. First off, attitudes are a changin'. Plus, with a few helpful do's and don'ts, you can easily have a très bien solo Paris adventure. I'm producer Catherine O'Brien. Astrid is a big proponent of familiarizing yourself with a culture before you go, and she has some tips for one of her very favorite cities. Astrid, do you always look up cultural do's and don'ts regularly as part of your pre-trip planning?
Absolutely. Knowing a culture or a particular place's etiquette or their do's and don'ts before you leave, I think is a must, because there's so many people who never even think to do this. And when they get to a new place and they're not familiar with all the different cultural differences that they didn't even know existed, it takes the traveler a while to get comfortable with all of that. So I really do feel that part of your pre-trip planning should entail some research on cultural do's and don'ts, because I'm going to get into the show why we should do this. And if you don't do this, I mean, you know, there's certain things like chewing gum in Singapore can get you arrested. So, I mean, you need to know some of these really important cultural things that are mainstay that you would never even dream that were a no-no. So another thing, Americans, I find, are particularly naive in many ways to understanding different cultures. And I think that they really think, well, when I get there, I'll pick up on the nuances. I was raised, I have good manners, and I'm not off-putting. You know, it's not that big of a
deal. I'll figure it out.
Yeah. Or everyone wants to be an American, you know, and that we are the desired.
Like we're the default.
Yes. And then when that doesn't happen, and especially in Paris, it can make solo travelers not like a place when they really, it's just something that hits them. And if they would have known something about it prior to that, it would make all the difference in the world. And also, like I said, if you're not aware that something is wrong, you don't realize that you have been rude or offensive. And then when somebody says something back to you or you start feeling some kind of vibe, you're thinking, what is going on here? But bottom line, that is a very naive and unsophisticated way to travel. So I really do believe very, very strongly, and that's why we're doing this program today, that understanding the different cultures of the countries that you're going to can at best make your trip much more enjoyable and definitely more enriching. And at worst, can keep you out of, heaven forbid, getting arrested or being misunderstood and getting in an argument that just kind of comes out of the blue from you, but somebody is really angry with you because maybe you accidentally put your pinky in the air or your little finger or something, and it just really did trigger them to think, oh, I'm going to have to really put this person in their place. And then also for women, it could stave off an unwanted sexual advance. So it's really important that you familiarize yourself with the cultural do's and don'ts of a destination where you'll be traveling. Okay, that's just my general belief. Now, the French and the Parisians, they have an extremely strong sense of their culture being French, everything French. They believe they're the most sophisticated, the most refined, the most intellectual, the most fashionable, the most politically savvy. They have the best food in the world. And of course, they're the best looking people in the world. the French and especially the Parisians, they still have a very strong bias that they're the cultural center of the world. So when Americans come, and if they have this attitude like, oh, everybody wants to be American, or we're just so hip, and they run into what I call that attitude of, oh, and the eye roll, the classic Parisian put down is, and the eye roll. And then, I mean, it's so natural. It's like they learned it when they were a toddler. So I mention all this because I want you to pay attention to all the different nuances and the things that I'm going to share with you. But things are changing, and I'll go into a little bit of the change at the very end. But bottom line is, if you want to familiarize yourself with these specific French and Parisian do's and don'ts, one more cultural do's and don'ts suggestion for the listeners. It's easy to find out information about the different countries, etc. All you have to do is Google. And we're so lucky now in this day and age. You don't have to go to the library anymore. Or you don't have to go to Books a Million or Barnes and Nobles and get travel guides, which I still do when I have a chance. But Google is right there, and it just has so much. Your library is right there for you. So start off with the Googling. Then if you want some printed material, there are some very good guidebooks that are specifically geared to cultural literacy. And they're called Culture Smart. Mm. And they're published, or you can download them, or you can download the information to buy them at culturesmartbooks.co.uk. But they're great. They have guides for over 100 countries. And in these guides, you get the beliefs and attitudes of the people, what are the social and cultural values of the country, the local customs, the background and the history, and why they have the traditions and the beliefs that they have, historical and cultural events that shape the place and basically their whole mindset, social etiquette. And also they go into communication tips, verbal and nonverbal. Ooh. Like I said, those nonverbal.
Yeah.
I mean, the nonverbal can change the whole dynamics of a situation that you're in. And if you don't know it, oh my gosh, it can be hard to work through, especially if you don't speak the language. And then also just sensitive topics and issues. That's another thing. Americans tend to be, they like to learn and talk and freedom of speech and diversity and everything. It's not like that in a lot of areas in the world. So you have to know when you can talk about certain things and when you shouldn't and what you should avoid, etc. So that's a very good resource, culturesmartbooks.co.uk, if you want specific cultural guides. Now, if any of you have listened to my other podcast, you know I just push watching YouTube videos. And I'm telling you, they are wonderful because not only if you read up on these cultural do's and don'ts, you see a couple of videos that tell you what not to do when traveling to Paris or the top 10, just hearing it and seeing it on a YouTube video gives you another layer of understanding. You will see as well as hear, and all of this makes an even deeper impression. So when you get there, you just kind of know what to do. It's amazing. YouTube videos, I love them because it really does prepare you with a much better understanding of where you're going to travel, no matter what the topic is, whether it's shopping in Paris or cultural do's and don'ts or the best top 10 restaurants. I mean, you'll see the decor of these restaurants. You'll learn a little bit about the chefs, why they have the Michelin stars, what makes them unique from other ones, and you'll get to see it and hear it. It'll help you, first of all, decide whether you want to eat there, and then if you do, then you're prepared to be able to relax when you get in the setting. Those videos are great. And then also now podcasts. Mm. Podcasts are a new phenomenon that really been coming on strong the last 5 years. And that's another way to find out information on cultural do's and don'ts. So that's why we're doing it, because we want to be the reference for solo travelers in all kinds of topics that are important to solo travel. So podcasts are another good source. Okay, I am going to change up a little bit of the structure of the program, because it's hard to just say all the do's, because on the other side, you can say the same thing with don't in many instances. So I've broken this up to cultural etiquette, basically, and then dining and food etiquette.
Oh, good.
Because the French spend, I think, a third of their waking hours eating. That is such an important part of their culture, important part of their day, and it's very important to the quality of their life. Mm. And they have a lot of do's and don'ts when it comes to food and etiquette and dining etiquette. But we'll start off with the basic French cultural etiquette. The first, all travelers who go to Paris should learn a few French words and phrases. I know the language for people who speak English and who've really never had any classes in French, et cetera. It just seems so, you know what I'm saying? And Americans just think, well, people will be able to speak English, of which they do. They can speak English. But it's very funny with the French. Number one, their language to them, what comes out of their mouth, it's very important what they say, how they say it, and they have such pride in their language. The French language used to be the universal language of business and culture and diplomacy and everything up until, I guess, the First World War. I don't know exactly when it changed. But the French, they hold on to their French language. So if you know a few, like oui, non, bonjour, bonsoir, au revoir, parlez-vous français, just basic things. It's very important that you try to say things. Now, they know you can't speak French, and they know your accent is all off, and they know that you don't know what you're doing. They know it, but it is a subtle way of being respectful to them. So that's number one. Just learn a few words. Then number two, greet everyone that you meet. Say you go into a shop, or you go into a restaurant and there's the maitre d', or you come into your hotel and there's the bellman. Say bonjour, madame, or bonsoir, mademoiselle, or whoever's there, who's ever opening the door for you, monsieur. Say something to them, as well as au revoir to the shopkeepers. I mean, there's so many foreigners that go into shops or restaurants, and they just walk up, and they wait for them to say something. Say the maitre d' will ask a question, the person will answer it, and they'll just stand there. Instead of coming up and saying, bonsoir, monsieur, I'm here for, and you can go right into English after that. The point is to greet and say goodbye. I know that sounds very trite. And say, you think, yeah, I don't know these people. I'll never be back here again. I mean, they shouldn't take offense if I don't feel like talking. Well, they think you are very unmannerly and downright rude. Every part of their day, they try to make something a good interaction with people. So if you don't acknowledge them and you don't set the tone for a potential interaction, they automatically feel like you don't value them. For Americans, we're not ever taught that per se. Maybe we did in certain eras, in certain socioeconomic groups, but The modern, no. They come in and won't even look at you.
I have a good friend who lived in Paris for a number of years, and she said, remember, in Paris, the mot magique, the magic words, are hello and goodbye. In the United States, our magic words are please and thank you, but that's not true in France. It's mot magique, bonjour and au revoir.
Oh, yes. It's just so simple. So put that in your mindset. Okay. Then the next thing, speak softly in public places. The French don't like loud talking. Now,
we're out.
Americans, they don't even know that they're speaking loud. But if you will go into restaurants, and I love to do this, and you see all of these, you know, the Parisians, a lot of them are very good looking. And especially in some of these really fancy restaurants, and I'll watch and I'll look at them. They're all very together and they're talking low, but they're animated. And you're thinking, oh, what are they talking about? But the bottom line is they're not talking loud or disturbing anyone else. So it is very important that if you are with somebody else or you're in a group, do not speak too loud because it is considered very ill-mannered and uncouth and disturbing. And I guarantee you'll get that. You will get that rolled-eyed look. And you'll even get, shh. The Parisians, if something is bothering them, oh, they're ready to put you down. It's like, oh, my God. You know, go home. Go back to America. You're just messing the energy of this room or whatever. So be mindful. Speak softly when you speak. And that's hard for me because I have a big mouth. I unfortunately have had people go, shh, shh. So it's very important in Paris. Okay, the next is don't hug French people unless you're lovers. The French basically do not like full body contact. They think it's way too intimate. In the South, we're big huggers. And we don't think anything of it, especially if you were raised that way. Oh, no. And you would think in France, because most people perceive the French to be very amorous and sensual. And you would think that they wouldn't mind getting a little close before or in just normal flirtation. No. When you greet somebody, it is fine to do the double kiss on the cheek, left cheek, right cheek. Could be three, left, right, left. It could even be four, left, right, depending on what area of France you're in. But that's how you greet each other. It's no full body contact. And not really even so much the shaking of the hand. You might nod your head, and then if you feel more relaxed, you give the double kiss or the triple or whatever. But getting closer than that, so be mindful of that. Okay, the next thing, and it's a little similar to this, is don't be too friendly or familiar until you really get acquainted with somebody and they're comfortable with you and you're comfortable with them, that they're a close confidant or friend. The Parisians and the French in general, they like to maintain kind of a relaxed reserve until you move into a higher level of closeness. And that doesn't come that fast. It takes a while for them to want to be more familiar with you. And don't be too smiley and too happy. They think you just got an insincere, a goofball, a fool, a little bit like the Russians, but the Russians are a little bit more, I'd say, quiet about it. The French will just look at you and give you that, oh, God. Just be cool. They like that. You'll develop a lot more friends and good things will happen to you. Just be cool. That's all I can say.
Is it like an exuberance that you're...
No, it's just like when you say bonjour, it's like bonjour instead of bonjour. there's a way to say bonjour. Yeah. So you get my trip. Okay, yeah. Not yeah, too friendly or too familiar. And there are a lot of people who are very sweet about that, want to be that way, but that doesn't get it in Paris. Okay. Next, if you're a house guest or say you're a guest at a dinner party, do bring a gift. That's really very European, but especially in France. And there are a couple of things you don't want to bring. One is chrysanthemums, because that's like the flower that they send at funerals. Mm. And the chrysanthemums in other parts of the world, too, are considered the flowers that you put on graves. And I've read, don't even bring wine, say, if you're going to a dinner party. It's almost like you're not putting the hostess down, like maybe they're not going to select the right wine. Yeah. And the French have the best wines in the world, they believe. So it's better if you bring like a candle or maybe some kind of short book or a picture book or something like that. Something that is just non-committal and something that's meaningful to you that you want to share with them that they will enjoy. So that's number one. Then also make sure you talk to everybody in the room or at the get-together. I had a very good friend who was an older lady who's actually had known my father when he was in the army in France. And I had become friends with her. And I went to France a couple of times with her and back to her family home, etc. And we went to some of these long lunches and dinner parties. And I noticed that everybody talked to me. Not one person did not talk to me. Hmm. And they were all talking with each other. So that's very important. Then also make sure you say hello to everybody individually. And then when you leave, just politely say, I have to go now. And make sure you tell everybody or everybody knows you are addressing them, telling them goodbye. Americans don't do that. We're kind of like, oh, I'm going to slip into this party. I'm going to stay there for a half an hour unless I'm really having fun. Or, oh, there's my friends over there, and you just stick with them. That's not the way the French do it. I mean, the French like to really socialize with everybody there. It's just all part of the evening, the dynamic, the celebration of life. And everybody there is important. And that's kind of the underlying premise behind it, as well as is that talking thing again. Like I said, the things that they say out of their mouth and that they put in their mouth to eat is so important to the French. I never thought about it that way until I started thinking about it. Okay, the next thing is be discreet. And this is going back to that be cool and kind of mysterious. Don't flaunt your wealth or your success or whatever. Because the way the French take it is that, are you trying to make them feel inferior or like you're better than they are? And nobody's better than they are in their opinion. And they don't mean it mean. They just believe it. But they don't like any kind of talking about really even what you do or anything. Nah, that doesn't go over. And we in America, we're always like, oh, well, where do you work? Where'd you go to school? Where do you live? And you're probing to get a lot of different answers. You don't talk like that. That's not how you start getting to know somebody in France. Because they really feel like that you're unmannerly, like Johnny Come Lately, Nouveau Riche, and that turns all Parisians off. They just think, oh my God, not classy at all. So maintain kind of a mystery about you. And if they ask you probing questions, just answer real politely in generalities. Don't tell them too much. They love that. They will come back around in another way. And you'll get further down the lane or the road like that than if you say, oh, well, yeah, I went to Harvard and I got a PhD and worked on Wall Street. They'll probably drift away and try to find somebody else to talk to because it's just the way you've said it and how you said they would rather you say, well, I went to school in Boston, and where did you go to school? and just don't tell them too much. Oh, they love that. It's kind of like Inspector Clouseau, but they like the mystery. They don't want you to give it to them right in their face. Okay, next is do take care of how you dress and present yourselves. Because for the most part, Parisians still are very fashionable, even though styles have changed and the street look is more people who mix and match things. And the look is different, but it's still fashionable. And you always want to dress for the occasion. Don't overdress or underdress, because that will just, they'll look at you and they'll go, well, you know, you'll get that. Bottom line is just comfortable, simple, with a kind of a chic, with accessories. I love scarves and handbags and shoes. Just black pants and cream-colored sweater with, say, a maroon cordovan, patent leather, nice bag, and some gold earrings, simple ring. Oh, that's what they like. Something simple but quality. And your shoes are shine. They don't look too old. I mean, I don't want to get too persnickety, but it's a way of saying that you value yourself and what they have to look at. And it's important to them, because if you don't, they're thinking, oh, this person doesn't know how to handle life. And they take you from being, you know, look too good the way you dress to you're a complete failure, which is probably not true. But that's just their instant
snap judgment.
Oh, yeah. So pay attention to that. Even if that's not your cup of tea, just think about it and try to, because you'll get better service. And it's funny, if you're completely not dressed right, most people will feel very out of place. Some people don't really care at all. They don't. But let me tell you, if you do it in Paris, they might not let you in a restaurant. I'm serious. Oh, yeah. They'll just say, no, all the tables are reserved. The whole restaurant's empty, but they don't want you in there because you look like an idiot with what you have on. So just be very cognizant of that, but you don't have to go overboard. That's not the deal. Okay, the next one is when speaking, using your mouth, do talk about or stick to certain topics. They love to talk about art. They love to talk about politics, food, anything with culture, even literature, and especially the French culture. They like all of that. They want intellectually stimulating conversations. You don't have to be a snob about it, but they don't like to just talk stupid. They're always trying to connect, and they can't connect with you if they think that you're not deep enough or know enough about a certain thing. They'll just kind of ignore you, basically. So, but this is what they like to talk about. What they don't want to talk about is they're not interested in talking to you about money, unless you have an appointment with a financial expert. Don't get into money. Ugh, I mean, that will be the first thing that they will just cut you off easy. And then before you know it, they'll have gone to the bathroom and never come back. They do not like that. They think that is so tacky. Also, religion. Unfortunately, now all over the world, the topic of religion can be extremely confrontational and off-putting. And also, it can precipitate something that you're not prepared for. So religion's off. Even if somebody wants to try to talk to you, it's better just to say, well, I grew up in America and we're Christian and I keep my religious beliefs to myself or something like that. Just don't get into it at all, or don't bring it up for sure. As well as, like I said, don't talk about what you do for a living, blah, blah, blah. Unless they really ask you, and then just say, you know, I'm a dental hygienist and isn't it a beautiful day today? I mean, don't sit there and say, yeah, I've been one for 5 years and I love it and I got the award for blah, you know. So those are forbidden topics. Now, the next one is it's okay to arrive 15 minutes late for an appointment or a reservation. Basically, it's okay. It's fashionably late. Any more than that, and I mean it's like to the second almost, they think you're rude. Just know that if you're late, it's no big deal. Don't stress out. But if it goes past the 15-minute witching hour, it's they gotta go. Well, in fact, it can get so bad. Like with the restaurant, they will not allow you to eat. They'll just say, I'm sorry, you're too late to eat, even if your table is there. It's very offensive to be late. So it's better to get yourself even there a little early and maybe walk around or whatever, but don't be more than 15 minutes late. And if you're within that grace period, don't stress out because they're not going to take it bad. But after that 15 minutes, it's bad.
So we should say, do know that it's okay to be slightly fashionably late. Don't be 16 minutes late.
Yeah, that's it. Okay, so now let's focus on the Parisian food and dining etiquette, those do's and don'ts. Because like I said, the French still think they have the most fabulous cuisine in the world. And eating is of primary importance in the French culture. That was something that I never fully appreciated until I was friends with this older lady that was close to my father at one time, and I stayed at their country estate for 10 days one time, and I really got to see how a French family lives and their daily rhythm and their habits, etc. And this eating thing, I mean, it is true. And meal times are as sacred as anything to them. So knowing the proper food and dining etiquette is a must because you're going to spend a lot of time eating, even if you don't want to, because everybody else is eating and there's nothing else going on. So, number one, do take your time when enjoying a meal. Slow dining is what their culture is built around. Lunches are typically an hour and a half long, an hour at minimum, but hour and a half. Dinners, 2 hours easy to maybe even three, because they feel, you know, the food is really meant to be savored. And when I say savored, I mean savored. And if you're dining with others, the conversation is so important to them. So they want to eat, they want to talk, they want to reflect, they want to enjoy a glass of wine or two, and they want to just be alive in the moment. And the food is so important to that day. It's like a celebration of life. There was something else that I came up with that I thought was interesting, too, about this slow eating and the French. One person that I read wrote that one of the reasons why the French don't get fat is because they eat slow. And it's because supposedly your brain and your stomach are not in sync. It takes about 15 or 20 minutes for the brain to tell the stomach what to do. Okay. So if you eat in 10 or 15 minutes, you probably will tend to overeat. And the brain and the stomach aren't, so your food doesn't metabolize as well. Your digestion is not quite as good. So you tend to gain more weight. The French go slow, they chew more. Their brain and their stomach is together. Consequently, they don't overeat as much, even though they're eating for 2 hours. And really and truly, there are very few fat French people. Now, they still walk in Paris, and that makes a difference. But there might be something to this slow eating that we in America and other fast-paced places don't realize, that it's much better for your health and weight gain. So I just throw that in there. I can't say that that's true or hard and fast, but I did read it. Okay, number two is when you're in a restaurant, order more than one dish. because restaurants are really for real meals in France. So there's a two-course minimum. If you only want to eat one course or you want to eat light, go to a brasserie or a cafe or in a market or a store. Because restaurants, they'll ask you to leave if you don't order more than one course. So know that before, that if you just want to eat light, do not go into a French restaurant. Okay, number three, order what's on the menu. Don't ask somebody to do something out of the ordinary, like, oh, yeah, I want onion soup, but don't put all that cheese on the top. Oh, God, you will get that. Ugh. They'll say, I'm sorry, the chef, they won't do it, basically, a lot of times. So here again, you created this scene, and you like French onion soup, but you don't want all that cheese. Well, don't order it there. Sorry, if you don't like French onion soup the French way. They take offense to it, especially the chef, because they feel like they know. If you don't like it, don't eat there, and don't eat that. Don't ask for anything that's too different. You might say, I want the béarnaise or the sauce on the side, but yeah, you're going to get in some thin ice. So I'm just saying, whatever's on the menu, order that, eat it the way it's prepared. And if you're worried about what you're going to eat, French fries, they usually do them the way we're used to. So don't worry, you can order French fries. And steak is usually some kind of grill type of steak, so, or in the oven. So you can stick to those too if you want to make sure you don't want something that you don't like the way they've done it. So, okay, the next one here again, this is about eating too, the food. Do try the Parisian French classics, their food classics. I know a lot of people go, oh, I'm not going to eat escargot, basically snails. That sounds awful. Or steak tartare, raw meat that's seasoned. Moules frites, which is basically your clams or your mussels that are steamed, and you have French fries on the side. That's great. They usually steam them in kind of a wine and herbal.
Like a broth.
Broth, yeah. But they're wonderful in Paris. Then the foie gras, which is goose or duck liver, the way they put it together, like one of those baking dishes and everything. Try it. I mean, these kinds of things are something that they sound unappetizing to you, but it's almost like you acquire a taste for them. It's after the second, maybe third time that you've tried it, you're going, oh, you know, I like this. I can see why people really like this. So try it. The macaroons are delicious. I never find anybody who says, oh, I don't like them. Baguettes, oh my God. The bread in France is so good. Just the bread and the butter. Oh, there's something about French butter. I don't know what it is about those cows and what they're eating, but man, I think the butter is great. Actually, one of my favorite things to eat when I go to Paris, and I'll do this for one lunch every time, is I like to go into a nice brasserie or not a real fancy restaurant, but not a cafe-like. But I like to have a very good omelet, a salad, a baguette with that wonderful butter, and a glass of wine for lunch. Oh, they can do an omelet like nobody can do it. Maybe it's the eggs, too. The butter that they put or whatever they put in the pan when they do the omelet and how they shake up all the mushrooms. But there's something about the way the French even cook that it is astoundingly good food there. So try those things. And don't think you're going to find hot dogs or some of the things that we eat in the United States. You're not going to get it like big pancakes. No, their pancakes are thin. Crepes are thin. Just go with the flow. And if you have to default to something, a baguette with butter, you can live. And then their jambon sandwiches, or I forgot exactly what they say, but they're basically ham sandwiches or ham and cheese on a baguette with a little butter in it. You can live off of that. Trust me. It's so good. It's so good. Okay, the next one is don't drink soft drinks or coffee with your meal. Oh, that's another thing. If you want to say, oh, I want a Coke or whatever, they go, a Coke. The French, they either drink water with lemon. They drink wine, fruit juices, spritzes. They might order a cocktail and kind of nurse it through. But soft drinks and coffee with your food, with your meal, that's another thing. They'll just look at you like they can't believe what they heard. And it is okay to order alcohol at lunch. I mean, don't feel that you're a closet alcoholic if you want a glass or two of wine at lunch, because I'd say at least 65% of the French do drink at lunch. I remember the last time I went, I was on Rue Cambon, right where Coco Chanel or Chanel, the shop is, and kind of closer to Rue de Rivoli was this little restaurant. And I went in, and there were all these men in here. And I thought, oh, my God, is this men only? But they had a lot of men in there. There was a couple of women, but it was a lot of men. And I thought, well, they must work at some ministry or something like that. And they loved this restaurant because it was packed. They were all having a glass or two of wine. And you see it all over. So if you want to drink at lunch, it's okay. Don't feel like the people are going to think, oh, there's one of those. Because it's a-okay in France. Okay, the next one. I think this is, like, to me, rushed, or it's not something that just seems natural. Because the French have a real way they eat, and they start their meal, etc. But when you sit down, do place your napkin in your lap right away. Because I'm so used to, well, I'd like to see the menu, and then maybe I'll order something to drink, and they bring the bread, and then I take my napkin and put it in my lap. In France, you sit down, you take your napkin and put it in your lap. That's the first thing you do. Then you might speak to the waiter or get the menu or whatever. But you don't leave that napkin on the plate, on the side, in the glass, or however they have it. First thing, you do that. You do that, the waiter will think, oh, well, they know what they're doing. Okay. The another thing that I think is so, I mean, it doesn't jihad with how I was raised in terms of meal etiquette, is keep your hands on the table. Yes. Do keep your hands on the table. I was taught, keep your hands under the table. And if you have to put your hands above the table, do not put your elbows on the table. But for the most part, when you're not using your utensils, the French, they want you to put your hands on the table. Now, I don't know what that means. That French one might go on under the table. I'm just kidding. But I'm just saying that they want to see your hands on the table. It's just something that is part of how...
And cultural.
Yeah. Yeah, it's cultural. And you would never think about that. To me, I would think like, oh, why are they going to have their hands on the table? That looks kind of rough or something. No, that's what they like. The next thing is don't bite directly off a roll. We're so used to it in the United States, we'll get a roll, we'll taste it or whatever. Oh, don't do that in France. Take the roll, break it up in small pieces, put it on the bread plate. And then as you want bread, you pick up a little small piece and eat it or dip it in the sauce or whatever. Don't pick up a roll and just eat off the roll and put it down on the bread plate. No, no, faux pas. Wrong. They'll look at you like, oh, they don't know how to eat a roll.
They don't even know how to eat a roll.
Exactly. The next thing, this is another thing, and people will do it. And they'll do it so innocently. Don't cut up your salad, like your lettuce leaves or your tomatoes or anything like that. They do not like this. And I know this French lady friend that I had, I used to watch her eat. She was so good at it. She would take the lettuce and fold it over the fork with the tomato. And she knew how to do it all so artfully. And then take the fork and it's upside down and put it in her mouth, you know, with the bottom facing the up. And I think, oh my God, she could eat with all the utensils upside down. But what I'm saying, saying is she would fold over the lettuce. But that's what they do. So don't sit down there and you say, oh, this salad, I want to break it in small bits so it doesn't fall off the plate or whatever. No, you fold it on the fork and then lightly stab it so it stays on there. And it's the art to it, trust me. But this is the proper way to deal with lettuce and getting it in your mouth and everything else in the salad. They know in France, they're not going to give you big pieces of tomatoes because they know. But don't go in there and start cutting the salad up. Okay, then do use your knife to cut cheese and cut it vertically, but don't cut the point off. Boy, you cut that point off, and woo, you might be carried out of the restaurant. They don't won't even want your money. Or everybody in the dinner party will go, oh, who invited her? And I can see an American innocently doing that. I just want a little bit. So they cut the point off. Oh, woo. That is.
I have never heard this before.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. The next is, and we all know this pretty much, is don't start eating until everyone is served that you're dining with. That's just a general commandment, basically. Everybody knows that. The next one is don't complain about slow service in a Parisian restaurant. This is Paris. And meals are meant to be relaxing, leisurely, because don't think you're going to go in there and eat in 25 minutes, you're going to leave. Oh. And don't complain that it's taken 25 minutes to bring a salad. Just don't. But be prepared, because that's the way it is. And they have their own rhythm, their own way. You can't change it. It's a culture. So be prepared and don't complain, because the complaining will not change a thing. It will make it worse. Then, water. If you don't ask for tap water, 99% of the time, they'll come to your table and say, would you like still or sparkling water? And when you say, oh, yeah, I'd love still. And if you don't say, I want tap water, you're going to get a whole bottle of still water, and it's going to cost you between $5 and $10 for the water. So it's very easy to say, oh, I prefer tap water or still from the tap. Just know that, because, you know, when you get your bill and you see this expensive bottle of water that you've only drank maybe a third of it because you had wine with your meal and you didn't really want all that water. Well, you're stuck with it. Then, another thing that a lot of Americans the first time don't realize when they go to France is don't order ice with your drink, or don't think ice is going to come in, say, you want tea or whatever. You say you want iced tea. They'll look at you and say, oh, yeah, we have tea. Well, and they'll bring it to you and there's no ice. They'll bring you a glass of ice and they'll bring you your glass of tea. They will not put the ice in the tea. You have to put it in there. So if you can get used to just knowing you're not going to get ice in your drinks or expecting it, then you'll be okay. But when you order ice with your drink, it probably will come out without it. Or if it does, it'll come out in two glasses, one full of ice and one your drink. And you put it in like you want to. Okay, the next one is do enjoy a cup of coffee, tea, glass of wine in an outdoor cafe. This sounds like a do or don't or etiquette. You have to do that. I mean, Paris is really a cafe kind of culture. I mean, everybody sits out in cafes or takes time, especially when the weather is good, because they love to think. They want to kind of regroup what's going on in their day. People watch, relax, and yes, smoke. I have to tell you, Parisians still smoke, and they smoke in these cafes. So you have to be prepared for that, and don't ask them not to smoke, because they'll ask you, they'll look at you and go, oh, you know, you can leave. We like to smoke. Who cares? It's our body and all this kind of stuff. So Do get into that, because it is a way to reflect on a lot of things. And if you're just going and whatever, and then you might eat lunch in a restaurant, but you don't sit out in any of the cafes and have a cup of coffee for 45 minutes, maybe an hour. I like to do it in the afternoon between, say, something I go to, and then if I'm going to do two things in the afternoon when I'm traveling, I like to stop before I go to this last thing and have a cup of coffee or have a gelato or a piece of cake or something like that with coffee and just sit there. It's wonderful for the mind, and it's a very wonderful, enriching practice. And the Parisians do it. It's part of their culture. So I'm saying, do make it a do for you. Even though you might feel funny doing it, do it at least a couple of times, because it's what Paris is all about. That's very important. Next one. Don't ask for a to-go bag or like a doggy bag. Oh my God, that is a big no-no. They're going to think, first of all, this person is so cheap or so needy, they have to bring the rest of this food. I mean, you're supposed to eat everything on your plate. And then for that point, and if you could think you're going to take our food and feed it to the dog, I mean, it goes downhill from there. And then to walk around with a doggy bag after you, oh my God. They don't do that in Paris. So don't even think like that. Even if it was so good you couldn't finish it and you want to finish it when you bring it back to your hotel room or whatever, leave it there. Just forget about it, because they're going to go, well, we don't do that. They'll give you some kind of rebuff. Okay, the next one is, do ask for the check or the bill, because I can tell you, you can sit there for 45 minutes waiting for your check, and they're not going to bring it to you. Once you have sufficiently dined and you have gone through 2, 3, 4, 5 courses, you've had your last cup of coffee, you've been there for almost 2 hours, then ask for your check. But if you've done that and you never ask for your check and you think that they're going to bring it to you because they see you're through, you'll be there another half an hour, 45 minutes waiting for your check. And then they'll look at you when you go, well, my check, please. They'll say, oh, yes, your check. Because they think now you're ready to leave. They had no idea that you were ready to leave. So when you are ready, that's when you ask for your check. That's important, because you'll waste a lot of time waiting for it. Now, as far as tipping is commonly under 20%. A lot of times it's already in the bill, okay? But if you want to leave something, it's okay. And they like when you round the tip up. Don't give them any, you know, in 17 cents or whatever. Just round it up to 20 cents. Or 50 cents, or on the dollar. They would prefer that. So round it up and round it even. Okay? And then the last thing, it's really not dining, but it does deal with food. If you're in a market, don't be touching the produce, picking up the apples, and oh gosh, then we go, immediately. If you like something, ask for assistance and let them pick it up and show you, etc. Don't be looking at the merchandise too close, because they don't like that at all. They're like, shush you. So those are my 20. And Catherine, this is not a complete list, but it's a real good introduction. If you kind of just know those and try to do those, and, you know, bonjour, au revoir, madame, and oui, and non parlez-vous français, and just a little bit. That'll get you in the right kind of flow with how Parisians react to foreigners, basically. So, and really the list is not meant to intimidate or be off-putting, like, if I don't do this. No, it's really there to prevent you from having this classic French put-down, which I can tell you, if you do something, one of these things that are like the loud talking, you're going to get it. You're going to get that. And like I said, probably a with the finger over their mouth. Shh. It is coming because that's how they're wired up. That's how they were raised. And really, the Parisians are known kind of for being snobby or judgmental towards anyone they don't think exercises, I guess, proper etiquette or whatever. Like I said at the beginning, I do think that some of the attitudes are changing. Because my last trip to Paris, when I was there last November, I felt like there was a kind of a general attitude adjustment. Because there were a lot more people that were willing to speak English. And they weren't avoiding you or just kind of whatever. And especially the service personnel, they were much more pleasant and attentive. So I think there's a general more tolerant and friendly kind of persona now among the French and the Parisians. I kind of thought to myself, well, maybe there's been a governmental campaign to make France friendlier for tourists and visitors because tourism is so important to the economy. But with that said, I wouldn't test it too much, but I did feel like that they were much more hospitable in a way that was accepting of the differences. And maybe, too, it's just how they have so many different cultures now in Paris and throughout France. It might be as part of the immigration issue. But I did find that it was a lot less of that snobby, haughty, off-putting attitude if you innocently didn't say hello or something, whatever. But I always, when I do talks on cultural do's and don'ts, I like to share, remember that you are a guest when you're traveling to a foreign country or a city, just like you'd be a guest in somebody else's home, and you would want to exercise proper etiquette. So really not knowing what is considered rude or unmannerly to me is not an excuse. It's part of your responsibility and your pre-trip preparation to travel and enjoy a different destination, which has a different culture than you're accustomed to. You want to make your mother proud. It should be really your underlying practice. And mind your manners. When you are in another place, just because you're not home, nobody knows you, you can't just go off and really let it all hang out. Be very sensitive to their cultural nuances. Because when you know that and you practice those, your solo travel adventures will be so much more fulfilling, successful, and enriching. I mean, you'll be in the flow and more things will open up to you. And you'll see more things and you'll be more relaxed. Everything. It's very important because those subtle missteps that you don't know you're doing that lie in a culture can be something that makes you just feel uncomfortable. And it's very important. So that's basically our show for today. And I'd like to share that if you found this broadcast enlightening, give us a thumbs up or a share. This is so important now with social media and media, etc., as well as if there's anything really important that I left out that you think I should have talked about, or maybe I said something that you disagree with. We love comments because when we get the comments, we know what you're interested in, okay? And this list is not meant to be comprehensive. These are just some basic things that I think are very easy and that you should be aware of and you should just do, okay, or not do. And then, of course, last is subscribe to Solo Travel Talk. Because when you subscribe to us, the broadcasters push the podcast out all over the world to a lot more potential listeners. So if you valued what you've heard today, share it with others. One of the biggest ways you can share is to subscribe. So that's it, Catherine, and I say goodbye. And of course, thanks for listening.
Just one more do and don't before you go. If you are planning now yourself to go to Paris, do get Astrid's packing list. It's amazing and it is complimentary. It is available on her website, astridtravel.com. Right there on the homepage is a place you can put in your email and get that packing list right away. Don't let your packing get really stressful. Have that packing list to make it just a little bit easier. Like Astrid said, this podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Spotify. Look on Instagram stories for Astrid's show there because we can share Spotify right to Instagram stories. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Au revoir. We'll see you in Paris. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Solo Travel Talk. Follow Astrid on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. To learn more about Astrid or her solo travel advisors, visit her website, astridtravel.com.